You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, welcome everybody to the Friday edition of Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And in with me to get us through this hour is Matt Moreno of Go AZ Cats. I didn't even say your name right, Matt Moreno.
Must be Friday.
It must be Friday. It must be tiring. We're going to talk about the game tomorrow. I don't want to say it's a big game.
It's not a game. We'll talk about a game.
But it is. If they don't play well tomorrow, that'd be a lot of rumblings.
That's the more intriguing part of tomorrow's game to me is if they're so bad, then we're talking about a whole different topic.
Sunday night,
yeah,
or Sunday.
If they win, that's what you're supposed to do, and you should win big. It's almost even if they don't win big, they're kind of in some trouble. So
at the very least, it's pivotal, wouldn't you say?
I think that's fair.
Yeah, I guess so. Pivotal. What do you mean by that?
Because they better be a different team. We better see a different team tomorrow. It should not in any way, shape, or form resemble that team that played in Hawaii. That's what I mean by pivotal.
Tom, you had too much coffee. Let's also remember, let's temper that enthusiasm, knowing that it's NAU. So it's NAU. It's not Hawaii. It's not New Mexico. It's not BYU, it's NAU. So if they came out and won 52-10, would you be okay with that?
Yeah, I mean that's
fine. What's supposed to happen.
Yeah, that's
if they
okay.
Win 30-20,
okay.
They win the 30-20.
No, that's a big problem.
Yes, I think so too. So we'll see. I think they're in a no-win situation tomorrow.
Yeah. No, unless, like you said, unless you win it, you know, by 50 points, then everyone goes, okay, that's what you're supposed to do. Move on to next week.
And you know what that means? You know what it does? Brings in false hope.
I still think the more reasonable fans understand that this game doesn't mean a whole lot.
The two reasonable fans?
All two of them.
Yes. No, of course. I mean, there's a no-win situation. You win by a lot. What does that mean? You lose or you play close. What does it mean? Skepticism, as usual. But it's funny. You're over under on the attendance?
I think I have it about 30,000. I know you were going lower before.
About 25. Yeah, I'm thinking about 30 is good. 30 is good. At least for the curiosity of going to see the first game, because it's a late game. That's another factor.
Yeah. 30,000 at the in the first quarter.
Are most of the students on campus now?
If the ones who want to go to school, yes. They started a week or so ago. So they're all there.
If I was in school, I would have already dropped out. See you later.
So they'll be there for the first half, and then they're out. First half will end about 10-ish.
Yeah.
10-ish. They'll be out doing what they do. What do students do today? And they'll be out, and then it'll be half full.
Well, yeah, I was just watching the USC game last week, and I was saying, man, we're barely going to be at halftime right now, and it was already late. And
yeah,
you're just comparing it, and it's going to be a long night.
And what's the night? What's the game time for Texas Tech?
I believe it's 7:30.
Oh, so that'll be same thing. Yeah,
whole lot of difference there, Steve.
Yeah, 15 minutes. Yeah. 15 minutes. It's difficult. We were doing some ticket stuff. We gave away a couple tickets yesterday, and the station gave away a few in the last couple of days. And we were doing some StubHub ticket prices. I think the lowest one was $6. The highest one was like $14 for this game.
Wow.
In great seats, great areas. You know, 50-yard line, yada, yada.
Yeah, well, buy the $6 ticket and move to wherever you want.
Good idea. Can I see your ticket? You don't need to see my ticket.
I don't even think they're going to go home. Those people, the ushers, are going to be gone.
Right. No, the best part of it tomorrow will be the tailgate, as usual.
Yeah. Indoors.
Yeah. Indoors.
For some of them.
Oh, for some of them. Yeah, yeah. True. True. Who gets that spot?
Anybody. If you have a ticket, you can go into the...
No. Okay, no. Who gets to use that spot?
If you have a ticket. Obviously, it's separate from the tailgate. It used to be there. It might even be still called like the Fan Fiesta or whatever it's called, where you kind of just...
Oh, that's going to be the Fan Fiesta.
That's inside now.
Oh, okay. Not the actual tailgate.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
But no, that's I think one of those things. We went on a tour with Dave Hickey today.
Yeah.
A group of the media through kind of some of the upgrades on the west side of the stadium. And that was one of the things he talked about. It's obviously on the other side, its own facility. But yeah, that was one of the things he talked about. And you can see that they're trying to figure out ways, and he mentioned it, they're trying to find ways to, you know, combat people wanting to sit home and lay around on their couch and watch their, you know, 60-inch TV.
I don't think you can do anything about that. There's one thing you can't. Well, there is one thing you can do about that. It's the age-old thing that we talk about all the time. That's what?
Win football games.
Win football games. Make it interesting to them to win some football games. Whether they have media access or not, it's win football games. Yeah. No one will care about that other stuff if you win. How was it this week? I didn't go, obviously, this week, but someone okay?
Yeah. I mean, he again, like always, like we always mention, he answered the questions that were, you know, asked of him. And, you know, a lot of it is coach speak and things that, you know, you can expect. But when you ask him specific things, and even when you are a little bit more critical and, you know, ask him questions that are fair questions about certain decisions that were made, he'll answer them. So that's what we got from him on Monday. The players were interesting. A lot of the players kind of, you know, put the blame on themselves. Jalen Harris was one in particular who kind of said, you know, I needed to play better, and it's my responsibility to play better and to help the rest of the defensive line group get a better pass rush, because that's been such a big topic of, of conversation since the Hawaii game. But, yeah, I thought it was funny. People on my message boards were commenting after I posted some of the videos with the players. They said, man, there's a lot of Kevin Sullivan in what they're saying. And, you know, it's a reflection of their coach right now. And a lot of what you heard Monday was the same. A lot of the same answers were there on Tuesday as well with the players.
Don't you get that with Sean Miller as well? I mean, it's all parroted.
Yeah.
You know, they tell you in the locker room, this is what you need to say, or this is what you hear, and then you say the same thing.
Yeah.
That's why it's kind of watered
Matt,
down.
Yep. Was there any rumblings at all about the defensive schemes and how they were asked to play on the defensive side? Anything?
Not really. And that's one thing Jalen Harris said was, even regardless of if they're, you know, rushing four guys or rushing three guys, they still need to find a way to get pressure. And that was a very Kevin Sumlin type of coach type of answer from him. And yeah, they weren't throwing anybody under the bus. They weren't really pointing fingers at, you know, their teammates. It was really about, you know, just trying to get better. And I could see how fans might view that a certain way and think, well, again, as we talked about, I think last time I was here, just the attitude and personality that people kind of have gathered, fans have gathered from Kevin Sumlin about, you know, does he really want it? Is he really going to get fired up? And you kind of had some of that with the players where it didn't seem, you know, it didn't seem like it was such a huge blow to them, the Hawaii loss, as maybe fans would have hoped. But
well, if the players want to put their big boy pants on, they're going to have their chance tomorrow night.
Well, they'll put on some pants tomorrow. Talk to me next week about this. No, this. I'm serious. I mean,
that'll be their chance to show what they've got.
Yeah. Of course. Like I said, this is a no-win situation.
Oh, yeah. There's more that could go wrong Saturday night than could go right.
Right. Yeah, no question. Even if you have great numbers, you think, okay, all right.
That's not. And that's if they win by 60 points, that's not going to keep fans in the stands.
No. Yeah, okay, you beat them, and then
you can't have a close game because fans will leave too.
Right. No, you're exactly right.
And no, like you said, it's a no-win situation.
No, it's exactly
so right. What you're kinda saying, like Steve, if I can put words in your mouth.
You do often.
Is that the Texas Tech game will set the tone for the rest of the season.
No question. Yes, you believe?
Yeah, that's the turning point of the season, whether it's going to go well or whether it's going to continue to kind of not go well.
Right. Did Texas Tech open already? Or they open tonight?
And they look pretty good.
Yeah, I think I saw a score last week, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I think they saw the score. Do they play this weekend? Hawaii goes back. They were off too. Hawaii was off.
Yeah, they play Oregon State this weekend. Yes. Really, really late.
Right.
For us complaining about a 7:45 start.
That's in Hawaii, isn't it?
Yeah, but they're starting real late. I think it's almost 9 o'clock here.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, I have no deadline. It's okay.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to have a luau first, right? And then the game?
Yeah, that's their tailgating, the luau, the big stuffing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, this is funny. So 30,000 over under. That's a good number. I think it's going to play, but they're going to say about 38, you know, whatever with tickets.
They'll say 50,000. Where are they?
But we'll see. Has it been strange to this point? Now you've been there every day or whatever.
Strange how?
Covering this team. What's the word you would use to cover this team to this point? Two weeks.
That's a good question.
I usually have one every 5 months. A good question.
I don't know. I mean, it's been kind of just
there.
Yeah. Whatever. It's happening.
Didn't that start?
It's going
like
on.
Last spring.
Yeah.
Like whatever.
Yeah.
There's no interest. There's no buzz. There's no anything.
Well, and I've always said when there's negative things going on, it's great for people like me
people want to know.
Yeah. And people want to complain and they want to have people to complain to and complain with. But that can only last for so long. And then it just becomes apathy.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah. Because you're not going to get any answers.
No.
And the funny thing is you had. So how did that thing go today with Dave Hickey? The tour.
I mean,
how long did it last?
Probably about 35 minutes, 40 minutes, something like that.
Only because you needed to walk through the whole thing.
Yeah. But I mean, there was some nice things about it, but I think the kind of big overhaul that fans want to see is not happening yet, and we all know that. I mean, the next step is going to be to tear down that west side and really kind of revamp everything. And Dave Hickey was pointing out certain parts of the stadium that are still original from when it was first built, and it's just you can't, when you want to, you know, sell fans on the experience, you can't have, unless you're one of those kind of fabled places where people, you go for the history, you can't compete with, you know, like I said, the couch and a big screen TV.
Where the beer is a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there is a lot of things that, you know, again, kind of like the season. Oh, okay, that's nice. That's nice that you have that.
Yeah.
But yeah. There's some new lights up.
Right. It's nice that you have that. I'll never see it, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's like your neighbor's car. Nice car. Can I drive it? No.
No word on the new press box either, Steve. I checked for you.
New press box? Is there going to be a new press box?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so. They're not going to name it after me, are you? Are they?
Maybe.
They're going to say, who are you, in fact? I haven't seen you in a while.
We'll donate money in honor, and you can get a seat.
My seat?
You can have a seat.
I'm lucky to have a seat. Actually, I do have one seat. That's good. You know, I haven't missed a game and blah, 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 unfortunately. So we'll see. Let's take a break. We're already over by a minute or two. And come here back on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And in with me is Matt Moreno of GoAZCats.com. Let's switch to basketball and we'll come back to football eventually. If it was a bigger game, we'd talk more about it. But you saw that DeAndre Ayton tweeted about his native Bahamas.
I did not.
He's asking for people to help donate. He donated, I guess, $100,000 of his multi-million-dollar contract, which is nice.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that because I didn't go to the Bahamas. You didn't either.
I didn't either.
Two years ago when they played out there. And how devastating that would be for someone like that.
Yeah. No, I know it means a lot to him to, you know, have that as his home. And he's very prideful about it. And mm-hmm. So it's no surprise. And I think he's a good kid. I mean, I think he...
I was going to go there with you. You followed him from his what year to what year?
I first saw him when he was in eighth grade.
What did you think of him?
This is an unbelievable talent. He's going to be... He has the potential to be a star.
Did you see... Was he the best player you've ever seen at that? Because you've seen some...
Yeah, there is moments where I would definitely say he was the best player that I've seen.
And give me your top three.
Man, that's a good question too. You have two good questions in him.
Aaron
Gordon, high school wise, Aaron Gordon. Uh-huh. Aaron Gordon was. I'll go with. It'll be Arizona slanted.
Yeah.
I watched those guys the most, but I think Aaron Gordon, Stanley Johnson, DeAndre.
I was wondering if Stanley Johnson would be in that mix because
and that's why it was so disappointing that in today's day and age, it's someone like Stanley Johnson and Aaron Gordon too. But that someone like Stanley Johnson is just it's built in. He's not going to be in college for 4 years
right.
Because I think he could have been
a superstar,
unbelievable superstar.
Both of them.
Yeah, I think with Stanley, if he stays 4 years, you're talking about him as being one of the greatest college players ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had unreal talent at the college level, but he had one of those kind of strange bodies that didn't translate to the NBA. And, you know, he's on his second contract now and is still trying to hang on. But
with this like third or fourth team now, I think,
yeah,
I don't know
right,
what that
right,
is.
Right.
But, yeah. No. And he was. Well, we don't get to know these guys, so it's different. Because I'm sure he was a good guy, and Aaron too, obviously. But he was even a better guy. But let's go back to DeAndre. Yep. I thought so. You watched him since he was eighth grade.
Yep.
Fantastic player, obviously.
Oh yeah.
I remember doing a story for Fox Sports Arizona when Bagley was an eighth grader. I didn't talk to him. I talked to his dad because he was in Phoenix.
He would be up there too.
Mm-hmm. So the one thing is, we all knew that he had this personality. DeAndre.
Yeah.
We just didn't get to see him.
Yeah, it didn't show up until the very end.
Until the very end, because we had chances to talk to him again. In fact, I talked to him when he made his debut for the Suns when I went up to watch him play. He said, yeah, well, you know, that's just how it is. It's more about Arizona than it was about him. Now it was about him when he made the play, the Suns, because he was more about a marketing himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what they're about.
And of course, and I get it, because that's how it's always been. It's more about the school and not the, and the,
yeah,
the team.
That's the difference between college and the NBA. Mm-hmm. One is the player and one is the team and the school.
Right. No, and he was very good about that. In fact, I didn't do that story, but that's when I spent some time with him by himself.
He was one of the best trash talkers I think I've ever seen.
Oh, I'm sure you could sense that.
I mean, he would get under, and he would do it for fun, and he wasn't malicious with anything. He didn't mean it. He wanted to be friends with a lot of those guys that he was talking trash to, but when he got on the court, he let it fly, and it was fun to watch sometimes because he would get under guys' skin and they would not be happy.
Well, when you're that big and probably that built,
can say anything.
You're not going to get messed with.
Yeah.
So, I was going to ask you something about him. Good dude, smart guy, friendly guy, funny guy. And you saw it in videos after he left here that was the case.
Yeah. He's a 7'1" kind of goofball.
Yeah, right. I think we'll see more of that as it continues.
Yeah.
And hopefully Phoenix becomes a team. I don't think they will be a team, a good team. But, you know.
They have a lot of good, fun pieces to watch play. It's just putting it all together is the difficult part.
Right. In your last 8 years, 9 years, who has been your favorite player? I think it's easy.
Yeah.
TJ McConnell.
I think everyone would say it's TJ.
Who's second? I think it's second easy, too. Is it easy, too?
I would probably say Rondé.
Rondé. Yeah, I think so, too. Third, that would be, I think Aaron was okay.
Yeah. The thing with Aaron Gordon was similar to like we've talked with different people on the coaching side or whatever, he kind of is who he is. That's
right.
I think you got the authentic, for the most part, kind of Aaron Gordon. I mean,
I think there's a 3A and a 3B.
What about Nick Johnson?
That was it right there.
I mean, he stayed more than a year. And
yeah.
He was a team player.
Right. No,
you said fun to deal with, though, right, Steve?
Fun. And he was okay, wasn't he?
There were moments.
Maybe. I don't remember those other
parts. He kind of gave us some side-eyed looks.
Oh, yeah. Most of them do. They're kids. And it depends who's asking the question would be the side-eyed kids. Yeah. And we both get that, right, without saying any names. I get that. But, Nick Johnson.
I think he was a great representative for what the program wants to be and what they strive to be.
Very much so. And after that, it could be any, Solomon Hill, obviously. Yeah. I thought those are the best. And Derek Williams back then, because it was more access then, and we could tell better stories. Not as much, but we still had a chance to. We'll see. I think that could change this year. We'll see what happens. Once all the NCAA stuff kind of disappears and it's kind of slowly disappearing, or people forgetting that Sean will ease up a little. Maybe. I get that sense.
We're at an interesting point coming up soon with, the NBA rule likely changing and all that going on, where it's going to be a different kind of era of college basketball. And usually when you have that, there's a lot of things that change that come along with that.
So. Right. Hey, Steve, speaking of the NCAA investigation, that ruling that the judge made here recently about not allowing the NCAA access to any of the FBI files, how is that going to affect
things? I think it's great news for Arizona, don't you think?
Yeah. Probably
for all of the schools.
Oh, yeah, sure. Sure.
At the very least, it's good news.
Sure. But I'm wondering if they didn't already have access to it. They probably didn't, I guess, if that's the ruling.
I mean, a lot of those tapes came out from the first set of trials, just magically got leaked.
Right.
So, I mean, it's, who's to say that they'll never come out or any more stuff is not going to come out? But I think, again, it depends on what your feeling is. If you think that Arizona did something and that they could get, that gotcha moment, if things get released, you don't have that. That's not lingering out there anymore now. If you think, that they could get fully vindicated by whatever gets released, then
people will believe what they want to believe.
Right.
Not that this is a correlation, but I'll give you an example. OJ, was he guilty? Not according to the law.
Oh, you could ask different people in the law.
Not according to the jury.
Not according to the jury. Correct. Good. Thanks for the correction. Yes. And I'm not saying, if I do think that Sean or the school is going to get hurt, it's going to be very minor. I could be wrong.
In the grand scheme of things, I think.
I think
more and more as time goes on, I think of that way and think going to be less than what we all think. Mm-hmm.
Which is a relief to probably everybody.
Yeah.
Including Sean. And
we're approaching the point, we're probably already there in recruiting, where it just doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter.
It literally means nothing on the recruiting side.
It's funny because it probably didn't matter all along.
No. After the initial scare, and that's what, when they had that whole recruiting issue come up, when they lost, all their commits. And when all that happened, it was kind of just the initial scare of, and I'm sure a ton of negative recruiting from other programs and just people getting in players' ears saying, you don't want to go there. And then all of a sudden they change their mind. But
don't you think that Nico Mannion sticking with the program, sticking with his decision, was probably one of the best things that's happened during this trial, quotes, no. period?
Yes, but no. I think the best thing that happened was Brandon Williams making that first step and coming
recommitting.
Back. Recommitting. And giving everybody the okay. It's the A-okay to come back. Don't you think?
Yeah, that was a big moment.
I would put that on the same level with Nico Mannion myself.
He had to be a first. There had to be a first before there was a second.
Yeah.
So,
but Nico, we were still in the midst of it when Nico said, "Hey, I'm coming to Arizona."
Is that true? No.
My thing was Nico ever not coming to Arizona. If you followed his recruitment, it was pretty easy to see that
he was coming.
That he was coming to Arizona.
Yeah. What's going on?
And again, with guys like that who we all anticipate leaving after 1 year or very most 2 years. What does it matter if there's anything? Right. And at that point, when they're making decisions and it's clear that there's not going to be any types of sanctions, it doesn't matter to those guys.
No.
They have bigger goals in mind than just playing at Arizona.
They're coming here because I have to come here and move on.
Right.
Yeah. We're going to take a break here for the second segment, and then we'll come back. We'll still talk about UA hoops. If you guys want to call in after the break, please do 790-2040, and then we'll go back to talking about football in the final segment. You're listening to Eye on the Ball on 1030 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera, and we'll be right back. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. If you'd like to call in, please do. 520-790-2040. Basketball is coming up here pretty soon, at least the media day, maybe in 3 weeks.
Red Blue,
the 25th?
7th, I think.
27th. And then we won't see him for a while, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. So get all this stuff while you have a chance, and then...
Any basketball during the month of October?
No.
Even towards the end, they won't have Chico State or somebody like that?
No, November. It starts in November.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's going to be see him early and then don't see him at all for a long time.
I might be getting pretty anxious by the end of October.
By September 16th, you might be very, very anxious. Yeah. We'll see. But that's a good thing. I mean, I think I was at the U of A yesterday, I think it was, and ran into a person or two, and we talked about basketball. And I think there's a lot of excitement. They're glad or relieved that there's nothing coming out of the NCAA. And like I said to them, that it's going to probably be a slap on the wrist, if that, at some point down the road, later down the road than closer to this thing. And I said, that's good news. That's great news.
Like I said before, I think on your show, is to me, it feels like they're still going to get another recruiting class in before whatever punishment comes out is public. So
yeah,
a good thing. Chico State, November 1st.
November 1st.
But just barely.
Yes. So, in your mind, and I hate talking about stuff like this, but let's talk about it because this is a talk show. Nico is a definite one and done.
No.
I, you know what? I heard the same thing. It's funny. He's not a definite one and done.
No.
That'd be great news to the U of A.
Be fantastic news.
Yeah, and what about Green? I'm surprised you said that because I trust what you say, but I've heard the same thing.
Green concerns me because of the shoulder issues.
Injury, yeah.
And Arizona's history with guys that have kind of injuries that come into their careers with injuries and how those have flared up and come up at different times. Right now, I'd probably say the only guy who's going to be a one and done is probably Zeke Nagy.
Mm.
So we could see next season,
yeah,
not this coming season, but next season, Nico and Brandon Williams on the court together.
And Green, yeah, no question. That would be a super team.
Wouldn't it? Oh,
that
would
be a fantastic team. But here we go again, something that I absolutely hate. Enjoy the moment now because you never know what's going to happen in 2 years.
Yeah, well, and if Nico isn't a one and done, what does that tell you about, you know, his game and where he needs to improve? I mean, it's going to be, if he comes back, it's going to be because there's something that didn't fall directly in place. So
Sure.
There's positives and negatives.
So it could be, even if it's 50-50, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Given what people think they know.
Yeah.
And how good he is.
Yeah. No, I think he's a great fit for the program.
Yeah.
Great fit for his head coach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, has a lot of talent. My biggest concern with him and Green is will they be allowed to do what they do?
Do what they do. Yeah, no, and I said that to the same person yesterday. If Sean can let him loose a little, that'd be fantastic. Again, he doesn't do that very often, but maybe he wants to. You just got to let him go.
And maybe you just have to have the right guys, and that also comes with personality. And as much as maybe a coach doesn't want to let it get in the way, I mean, if a guy has a bad personality and a bad attitude, you're not gonna let him do what he does because you're gonna want to take it out on him a little bit.
Sure. No, I thought there's a couple of players that have come through here that have been those players. I'll say it's Stanley Johnson, and maybe that's the only one. I don't know. Maybe there could be another one, but you know what I'm saying. He was kind of like the guy with the, not petulant, but he was just different.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
So you agree? And you know him better than me.
No, I think there was, I mean, it's pretty, I think it's been pretty well documented, at least for most people kind of behind the scenes that, you know, that they were butting heads.
Yeah.
And it took some time for them to really kind of...
get through it.
Yeah, get through that and iron that out and, you know, get to a point where, okay, we understand what we want from one another.
Okay, so they have a very good recruiting class this year. They are here with Mannion, Green, and Najee, and all those guys. Okay, so let me give me your top seven players here in Sean's time, best to top, in the top seven. To best, though, top.
Just
Aiden?
Players?
Yeah.
Yeah, Aiden, Aaron Gordon.
Ooh.
Oh, are we doing it in order?
No, I want you in order. Let me criticize you, but I'll throw my two. You go with your one.
Aiden, yeah.
Okay. Gordon? Gordon's not a bad two.
No. Yeah. What
about Markkanen?
At Arizona, I don't know that we got to see everything that we...
Oh, no, I know. And
that's the caveat.
And that's the funny thing about it. If you give me a choice, who would I pick before number one? I would take Markkanen. I love how he plays. He can go inside out, do a lot of different things. And Aiden, obviously, very, very good.
Yeah.
But given the choice, I think I would go with Markkanen.
That's fair.
And then Aiden, and then Gordon.
Yeah.
And then four.
Are we talking about pure talent or just them?
Yeah, pure talent.
Rondé's in there.
Okay, that's 4-5. Okay.
Stanley has to be in
there.
Yeah,
6. And he could have been, like Damon told me when he first got here, he could probably be the best player if he stayed here all 4 years.
Stanley?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I agree, 100%.
Yeah.
Trying to think of who else would be. I think you have to throw Nick Johnson in there.
What about Derek?
Yeah.
Derek.
He's in there somewhere, too.
Yeah.
Have you already talked about Mark Lyons?
Nah.
No?
No.
All right.
No.
Sorry I brought him up.
No. Sorry. I think he's maybe in the top 12. Because you have
behind T.J. McConnell though.
He was sure a good clutch guy.
He was because that's all they had. True.
Yeah. Oh no, that was his calling card.
That was his. Yeah. And let me say this. He's no Mannion, talent wise.
Right.
Green.
Right.
And Najee. I mean, you got to include these guys, but they're not in the top seven here.
Not yet.
Because we haven't seen them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I would debate you if you want Aiden and Markkanen, one or the other. I don't think you're wrong either way.
No, I agree.
I did like Mark. I did. I thought his game was fantastic.
It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Fun to watch. For today's game. For what today's basketball is, that's...
And we didn't see Aiden at his best.
No.
You know.
Well, I mean, you're getting double and triple teamed all the time. And
right.
It's just different.
Right.
Did we really see Markkanen at his best at any time? He was supposed to be a good outside three-point shooter.
No, and he was, except that we didn't. Good question.
We didn't see it. We knew he had it in him.
Yeah.
But it just didn't come out while he was playing for the Cats.
And the one thing that we'll always remember is?
His last game.
He didn't touch the ball in the last 11 minutes. I mean, honestly, he had a great career, but what do you know? That's it.
Yeah, that's the lasting moment from his career.
And what about Trier? As good as he was, he doesn't fit in that top 10.
No.
And maybe we're biased. In a bad way, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because of who he was or what he did or what he didn't do or whatever. But he's not in that group.
I wonder what Trier's impact would have been if he hadn't had those issues. That, you know, that stuff that showed up in his bloodstream.
Yeah, that. And he was injured a lot,
yeah.
Yeah.
He was injured a lot. Yeah, his career was herky-jerky, self-imposed or otherwise. But he's not in that top seven for sure.
The issue with someone like him is he's allowed to do what he does best in the NBA. Here, it's just college level, it's just so difficult to just be a pure scorer and, hey, this is all we need you to do is score.
Right.
There are just things that come up where, hey, we need to handle the ball and do other things.
If Trier would have been in the era of Lyons, he would have been Lyons all the time. True?
Yeah.
He would have been the go-to guy all the time.
He had some unreal scoring games in high school where he would just fill up the stat sheet and just could score from every kind of angle and... You know, he would
maybe
just be
that's
one of
what
guys.
Trier needed. Somebody like a Mark Lyons to play opposite, you know, have the two personalities working together and sometimes against each other.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he just needed something like that never showed up.
Yeah, I guess.
I think he needed just a certain kind of freedom that you just
Trier?
Yeah, that the college game just doesn't offer. And
right. Right.
How it goes.
Yeah. No, I agree. And then his personality didn't make it any better. Not that he was surly or he was different.
And that doesn't matter in our discussion. No. I know you think it probably has maybe an underlying.
A bias, yes.
But, I mean, I still probably wouldn't put him in that top group.
And
you look at results, too. You have to factor in results. Someone like Nick Johnson, look where he takes him.
Right, and he was almost the Pac-12 player.
Have to be someone that was like in that conversation in terms of
before he got hurt.
12 guys that were whatever we're talking about.
And if Brandon Ashley hadn't gotten hurt?
know the story. We know the end of that sentence.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Let's assume, everyone assumes that they were defeated, yada, yada. There's a lot of things that could happen in between. You're assuming the positive end of it.
Well, I'm just wondering.
No, you and everybody else in this town, which for good reason, they were that good. They had a chance to be very good, maybe win another title.
That looked like a lot of people thought that was a Final Four team.
That looked like a national championship team.
Yeah. And that's exactly. You're selling them short, Tom. Yeah. I agree with
that. No, I think the end of that sentence is if Brandon Ashley doesn't get hurt, they're the national champs.
And you imagine how the trajectory of Sean goes and the program goes or continues.
Would he still be
here? And what players would he have gotten if he had won the national title with that Brandon Ashley
The same ones
team?
He's getting now.
Some of these players that looked like they might be coming to Arizona decided not to and went to Duke or wherever instead.
Right, and the circumstances of the whole thing would have just been changed.
They might have ended up at Arizona.
Do you see now, because I've seen it, I just want to get your take, because players are going to Texas Tech or thinking about Texas Tech, who obviously he's a very good coach. That doesn't happen by accident, but getting that team to the Final Four, and we know he's a good coach. So do you see other schools kind of filtering into Arizona's territory?
Yeah, I think so.
For big recruits?
Yeah, I think so, but
Arizona, other than the Dukes and the Kansas?
Yeah, I think there's more competition there for sure.
Where? Texas Tech?
Texas Tech is one of them.
Now, when you say Arizona's territory, you're talking about 4- and 5-star players or this part of the country?
No, 4- or 5-star players. That now that those guys are taking nibbles at the other guys. Yes, Texas Tech.
Yeah, I think
Villanova.
Villanova, Virginia is going to be one of those ones.
Yes, good point.
Trying to think of who else would be in there.
Gonzaga.
Yeah, Gonzaga in a big way. I mean, they're
Louisville.
Yeah.
Yeah, now because of his former assistant, he's now at Louisville.
But West Coast team, in terms of West Coast teams, Gonzaga is one of those schools.
The Zags, as I like to call them, because I can't say Gonzaga correctly, is the Arizona of the 1980s, the 1990s, where they have that name now, early reputation. They've been to the Final Four now. They're kind of building on that momentum.
Well, and they've done so much or had so much of their success with guys that aren't the 5-star guys.
Arizona.
And they've still been able to get those guys to the NBA and get them to the next level and build their name that way.
Arizona.
And now they are getting those 5-star guys and getting the elite recruits that it's going to be real tough to beat them every year. And they're going to, it's going to be interesting to see how they continue to keep this rolling.
Arizona, 1988, Arizona, 1999, whatever it was, 1994 after that. So let's take a break here on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Before we get back to football, U of A football, I have some sad news. I didn't know him. I know his brother, Chris Duncan, CDO grad, passed away. I guess it was announced earlier tonight in St. Louis.
I think 38 years old.
38
like
years
that.
Old, yeah. Brain cancer, I think it was. It was a brain tumor that... very sad. I knew that my ex-wife, the doctor that she worked for, was one of his doctors, and it was not good. It's in 38, that's not good. But a good family. I know his dad was coached when I was growing up with the Cardinals, and his brother is a heck of a good guy, does a lot of charity work in town. Sorry to hear that. I didn't know Chris, but well. Now let's talk real quick about the football game. What do you hope to see from Khalil? Do you think you're going to see something from Khalil?
Well, I think in general they're going to try and keep things limited in terms of what they show and how much they do, just because you don't want to give away your game plan, you would think, against NAU when you have Texas Tech and then Pac-12 play coming up. But to me, I think a positive sign for Khalil would be more of the same and more of what we saw against Hawaii. And I really keep coming back to that final play. He had other runs that were solid runs. Right. That last one looked... very similar to what we've seen in the past in terms of improvising. I'm just going to make people miss and I have to get in the end zone. Otherwise, we're going to lose. That he had that mentality. And I think that's something you didn't see early in that game even. There was moments where you could really see he's paying special attention to not getting hurt.
Right.
You could see that on certain runs and even the big runs that he had. But that last one was kind of, hey, I'm going to let it all loose and I'm going to try and score a touchdown. I think if he can get to being more of that guy and having more of that mentality, I think it only helps Arizona.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. And once he kind of lets loose with that again, it's funny. I was thinking yesterday or maybe over the weekend, his star has fallen faster than most anybody I've ever covered or thought of. Because just last year,
he's on the cover of
Sports Illustrated. 14 months ago on the cover, a lot of high praise. They didn't really publicize it, but there was a lot of high praise. Now he's kind of like an afterthought, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just one of the players on this team.
Yeah,
and it goes with the season. If they were winning, maybe he would be more featured, and it would be he'd be thought of in a different light. But you know, more than anything, the coaching staff is getting the attention right now for what they're doing that fans seem to be taking as negative and the way they're coaching. That's overshadowing everything.
What could help Khalil's passing game?
His running game?
There's something else I think that could help. He seems to have a little difficulty in finding his open receivers.
I mean, the scheme? Yeah.
He needs, I don't know. I'm no coach, but what do you think about him? They need to have somebody, an outlet for him. The tight end or somebody.
There probably is.
You also have to take, if you're the quarterback, you also have to take that opportunity to throw the ball there.
Right.
And there's no guarantee that's going to happen right now.
What he's saying is they have that open guy, he just doesn't see him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that thing, that aspect of it, isn't something that changes overnight.
Right. And that's always been the key. Yeah. He runs the plays well, except there are times when he doesn't see the play happening.
Yeah. And you've got to be able to see it and get the ball out fast.
And I understand his mindset of, I want to be an overall complete quarterback because I want a future in this game. I understand Arizona's coaching staff saying we want to do that and be the kind of vessel that gets this kid to the NFL and have that on our resume.
Yeah, while at the same time running the team.
Right. But I think at a certain point, losing to Hawaii being one of these points.
That doesn't help.
Where just let him go crazy.
Right.
Say, hey, you go wild. We need you to be that guy and push that on him. Say, we need you to be that guy because right now, when you look at this team, I don't know that much is saving this team other than that happening.
Right. But if he's got an outlet, a tight end or somebody, a wide out that he can get the ball to rather than run, then he has those choices, either run or get the ball to his outlet.
Sees it or not.
Well, that, but is 5 or 10 yards, what is that doing for this team right now when you're giving up 600 yards
on defense?
Better than
a sack.
Yeah, but he's not getting sacked. Yeah. He's not getting sacked. He's just not making progress.
He hasn't played Texas Tech yet.
Well, okay. right. And we'll talk after that game, Tom. We'll see what happens after that game.
All right.
What do you make of
it? I'm just throwing stuff out. I'm no coach.
You're throwing it out like Khalil does, just out there randomly.
But he does better at it than I do.
What do you make of the, and you've been in this league now a long time, the Pac-12 is absolutely trash.
Yeah. I mean, outside of maybe a couple teams at the top, and even those teams, it's how legitimate are they? It's not a good league.
No, and it's not going to get any better. No. It's been like this
for
years.
Who are our best teams? Washington, Stanford, Oregon? Is that, and maybe Utah?
Utah's in there. Mm-hmm. Utah's up top.
Utah's probably the best. Yeah. Well, Utah, Washington, Stanford. Stanford got lucky last week.
Yeah, well, now their quarterback.
But do you realize what we're doing?
We're
not mentioning USC.
Well, because they're...
that's a mess.
that's not going to happen.
That's a meltdown waiting to happen.
Right, and that could happen any time soon. They have a huge game this weekend with Stanford.
Yep.
Where's that at?
I believe in L.A.
In L.A., so with a new quarterback.
For both teams.
Yeah. So it's just a horrible situation. Last year was bad.
I think it's a signifier of what's kind of happening with recruiting. And that is more players are looking
elsewhere.
Outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're having the schools like USC and all these other programs that used to target those guys and would count on those guys being there in the end. Now they're going after, you know, players that Arizona normally would go after. And then those guys, and then it has kind of a trickle down effect. So now, you know, the teams at the bottom aren't getting the talent that they used to get either because so many of those kids at the top end are, you know, leaving other places. I mean, if you look at the top ranked recruit in the senior class right now, he has an uncle on Arizona's coaching staff, had every offer he could want. He's going all the way across the country. He's from California. He's going all the way across the country to go play at Clemson.
Yeah.
I mean, when the top California players aren't staying in California, that tells you a lot about what's going on, and it's going to, you know, have that effect where just the rest of the teams aren't very good.
Well, it's of course, what sells the Arizona basketball program besides Sean, and what sells? The A. The A in basketball means something.
Oh, it's huge.
And okay, Alabama, what sells Alabama? Saban. And winning.
Yeah.
And A.
And Roll Tide.
And the Roll Tide. Clemson now, what's doing? If you establish yourself at the top, it's going to take a lot for you to get down.
Yeah.
To fall down.
Yeah.
Arizona, they're at the top. They've fallen down a little, even under all the circumstances.
And again,
but they're still at the top.
Oh, right. There are so many programs who would love to have what Arizona has.
To die to have Arizona's problems?
Yeah.
Yeah, no question. No question. And football, it's even more so. You had Florida. There used to be that team. They're still up there. They're like Arizona now, don't you think?
Yeah.
A&M, not so much. Texas.
Yeah.
Okay, Texas like Arizona football.
Yeah.
Arizona basketball, I'm sorry.
Right.
They play LSU tonight or this weekend.
Yep.
LSU's a favorite in Texas, which is a surprise to me. But they're the Arizona basketball.
Right.
Because they have that reputation and everybody's still dying. If Texas were any good, they'd be great.
Right.
Who else? I think Kansas. Watch for Kansas with Les Miles. They're horse poop before, but now I think coach matters.
Well, and coach matters. It always starts with recruiting.
Yeah. And if you have a guy like that, how does it start? With recruiting.
Yeah.
Where else? Washington, the West. Tell me, Texas, LSU, Florida.
Programs that could go down, but they're not really down, is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Notre Dame,
and they're kind of like, they've been kind of just there.
Yeah.
Although they've been in the series.
Yeah.
Michigan State is kind of like, Michigan.
Tennessee, in a lot of ways, their fans are still going to be there.
Well, that's
they're weak. Awful.
They're awful
right now.
But Michigan,
Michigan's a great example.
They're in the border of being good, but they don't get there.
Yeah.
Arizona basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now Ohio State's in the post-urban era.
Right. I think they're always going to be that team, though. They'll have a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. I hope tomorrow is fun. I know it's probably not going to be. We're going to be there till 1:30 in the morning, 2.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be fun, but it is what we do for a living.
You know what? I think for us, even being reporters, we still want what fans want for the most part, which is an entertaining game and something to write about.
Right. And for a story.
I think that's part of the battle for getting people in the seats is what we saw against Hawaii was not very fun.
No. Luckily we weren't there, but to write about a team where you say, God, I don't have enough words to make this. I'm not going to do it justice.
Yeah.
Hey, here you go. Thanks for coming in.